Prunella Scales is Sarah France in After Henry by Simon Brett, with Joan Sanderson as Eleanor, Benjamin Whitrow as Russell, and Jerry Cowper as Claire.
I suppose she must be out. Of course I will. I'll pass on the message, but I'm afraid that's no guarantee. No. Well, do cheer up. I'm sure... Yes, all right. Goodbye, Ian.
Oh, dear. Was that the Ian Clare went out with last week?
Yes, but the Ian Clare won't be going out with again.
Why? I thought she enjoyed her evening.
She did, but I'm afraid Ian is a victim of Clare's new get-tough policy.
What's that?
She doesn't go out with any man more than once.
Why ever not?
Oh, it's still part of the fallout from her breakup with Julian. She's decided that rather than staying in her flat moping about one man, she's going to go out with as many as possible. It's the shotgun rather than the rifle.
What?
Lots of little pellets rather than one big bullet.
Oh, so it was one of the little pellets on the phone just now.
Yes, I'm afraid a rather lovesick little pellet. But Claire never seems to be in when he phones. She won't phone him back, so what can he do? Can't help feeling sorry for the poor lad.
Oh, I'm sure he'll pull through.
Yes, I just don't like the idea of Claire becoming a hard-faced bitch. I don't think she's really like that.
She's not being a hard-faced bitch.
No, I suppose not.
She's just playing the field.
Yes.
And she does seem to be having a very full social life.
And say that again. Out every evening, so far as I can tell. I mean, I'd have thought at her current rate of progress and sticking to her only one date principle, she'd have worked through all the eligible men within a 50-mile radius by now and be down to the wimps and young conservatives. But that doesn't seem to be the case. Her phone keeps on ringing.
Well, she's a very attractive girl.
Yes, of course she is, but I don't know. I never have a nerve at her age. At the end of every date, I used to be on tenterhooks wondering whether I'd ever see him again.
When you were Claire's age, Sarah, you were already married to Henry.
Yes, well, I suppose marriage is the ultimate way of ensuring that you do see him again.
Hmm. No, it seems to me Claire's behaving very sensibly.
Well,
men like being treated firmly.
Do they?
Oh, yes. It makes them come back for more.
Really? When are you going to open up your torture chamber, Miss Whiplash?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, nothing. Anyway, you're probably right. I don't know, though. With Claire at the moment, it all just seems so joyless.
There wasn't a lot of joy about when she was moping in her flat all the time.
True.
You were the one who kept saying she should go out more.
Yes, I know, and I should be delighted that she's taking my advice.
Exactly.
Mind you, I don't think it was just my advice.
What do you mean?
I think your cousin Lillian had something to do with it.
Oh?
I think she gave Claire a few tips on her method of dealing with men.
Cousin Lillian's hardly qualified to give advice on the subject. Her with her three husbands. So far as I can tell, Lillian's method of dealing with men involves marrying them in bulk.
Well, maybe.
Hello, Mummy. Hello, Granny.
Evening,
hello,
love.
Dear.
Ian just rang.
Did he?
Ask if you'll ring him back.
Uh-huh.
Well, will you?
No.
And if he rings again...
You can tell him I won't ring back.
Look, Claire, I don't really like taking on the role of a humane killer for your wounded swains.
Well, just say you'll pass on the message. Then when I don't ring him, he'll get the point, won't he?
Yes, I suppose he will.
Look, Mummy, there's somebody else who might ring tonight.
Oh.
Bloke called Don. I'll be out, so I hope you don't mind me giving him your number.
Well?
Anyway, he's going to want to invite me out for dinner.
Is he?
Tell him I could do next Thursday or the following Monday, and he can pick me up here at 8.
I see. Right. Your social secretary has taken that in.
Look, you're the one who kept saying I should get out.
I know,
more.
I know, and you're doing exactly what I asked. I just wish sometimes, Claire, that you could...
What?
Well, do things by halves. You know, just occasionally.
Claire, dear, while we're talking about your social calendar...
Yes?
You haven't forgotten about Sunday week, have you?
Sunday week?
It's the christening.
Christening?
Vera Poling's granddaughter Stephanie's new baby.
Oh.
I do want us all to be there.
Why?
Well, Vera will be there, and so will her daughter Tricia, you know, the one who's married to a merchant banker.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Stephanie, obviously, and... Well, I just think we should make a good showing, too.
Family solidarity, eh, Mother? You're never going to be upstaged by Vera Poling, are you?
That has nothing to do with it, Sarah. I just think it would be nice if we were all there.
No, sorry, I can't do it.
Why ever not, Claire? Have you got something else on?
No, I just can't stand going to church these days.
Why ever not?
It'd be hypocritical for me to go.
Why?
Because I don't believe in anything.
Oh, really, Claire, don't be silly. Goodness, if everyone worried about details like that, the churches would be empty. Come on, you used to enjoy church.
When I was about 12, maybe. No, sorry, Granny, I'm not going.
Oh, but Catlin, it's only a christening. It's not as if you're going to have to take holy orders or anything.
I am not going.
Claire, all right, maybe at the moment you don't believe in God.
It's not just that I don't believe in God. I think the concept of God is positively harmful. Why should people waste their time praying to someone who doesn't exist?
This is blasphemy, you know, Claire.
Claire, for a lot of people, God does exist.
You shouldn't think he had the nerve to exist given his track record.
What on earth do you mean?
All the unanswered prayers. All the prayers that didn't work. If God does exist, I think he should face up to the fact that he's no good at the job and jack it in.
Claire, you're just being perverse.
No, I'm not. I've prayed a lot in the last few months, a very great deal, and not one of my prayers has been answered.
So? That doesn't...
Well, what do you do in normal business practice?
I'm not sure that God is bound by normal business practice.
You're dealing with a supplier who fails to deliver the goods. You give him a few chances, and when he still doesn't come up with the goods, what do?
Amaze me.
You change your supplier.
I see.
This is blasphemy, you know.
Just one small point, though, Claire.
What?
Well, having sacked God for incompetence...
Yes?
Who's the supplier you're going to change to?
I'd say it was a very Thatcherite view of religion. Judging God simply by results. You know, if he doesn't answer your prayers, then you withhold your faith in him. Sort of market economy approach.
Well, it's certainly part of the new pragmatic, uncaring Claire. That conforms to your definition of Thatcherite?
Yes, well, pretty much so. Yes, I think we've finally become a completely secular society.
Hmm. The trouble is, I can see exactly why Claire's doing it.
Basic perverseness.
Well, there's a bit of that. She's always had a bloody-minded streak. But I think she's still just deeply hurt and angry about Julian, and she's externalising the anger, channelling it away from herself.
And unfortunately, God's managed to get in the firing line.
Yes. Well, that doesn't worry me too much. I think God can cope with Claire's displeasure. His back is proverbially broad.
Yes.
But Claire's upset Mother, and I'm not so happy about that.
I never thought of Eleanor as particularly religious.
No, she isn't really. Not passionately committed on the subject. She regards church as a kind of traditional English comfort, you know, on a par with cream teas or the test match commentary.
Well, lots of people feel that way about it. I mean, isn't it strange? When you think about the emotions religion can arouse, the wars that are even now being fought around the world in the name of religion, and then you think of England. Can there be any system which has sanitised and house-trained religion quite as much as the Anglican Church?
I'm not to think of one. But Mother's not worried by the Church's lack of passion. Indeed, that's part of the appeal. It's safe and cosy. It doesn't challenge her. Church just becomes another opportunity to try and upstage Vera Poling in a new hat. But Claire's anti-religious passion, that has got Mother worried. It's untidy. It doesn't fit her neat preconceptions.
Yeah, I can see that.
Do you have any religion, Russell?
Oh, I don't think I do, really. I mean, I approve of most of the humanistic principles of Christianity, but it seems to me you can have those without the God bit. No, no, the formal side doesn't make a lot of sense as far as I'm concerned. And no system religion seems really to have coped with the problem of homosexuality.
You actually use the word problem.
Well, I mean problem for the church. It's not a problem for the homosexual.
Ah.
Unless, of course, he happens to be a vicar. What the Sun once, with its customary delicatesse, dubbed a pulpit pufter. That clearly must raise problems. Though maybe they relish the challenge. I think anyone who goes into the church nowadays must have a strong streak of masochism.
I don't see why.
No, don't get the impression I'm anti-religious. Clearly some people get a lot out of it, and that's fine by me. As long as they don't frighten the horses. And, of course, as long as they don't talk about it.
What do you mean?
Well, come on, Sarah. I'd rather be sat next to someone at dinner who's just done his own conveyancing than someone who announces he's just become a Christian.
Perhaps.
What about you? You got any faith?
Yes, I think deep down I probably still have. I mean, I suppose I grew up with Mother's sort of cream tea test match commentary brand of religion. Then Henry's dying knocked all that a bit sideways. I was angry, like Claire. I turned violently anti-religion for a while. Now, I don't know. I seem to have mellowed a bit. And I didn't think, through all the upheavals, I ever quite lost the feeling that there was a God of some sort around somewhere.
What kind of God? God with a sense of humour?
No, I don't think so. Well, either you have to believe that God has no sense of humour at all, or that he has an enormous, cosmic and very black sense of humour. It's probably easier to think of him with none.
So, how do you see him?
Never really defined it. I suppose I see God as rather authoritarian, a bit old-fashioned, very strict about details.
You sound rather like Eleanor.
Yes. Good heavens, Russell, you could be right. Do you think Mother brought me up to believe in a God made in her own image, and I responded?
Well, it's possible. Of course, if that were the case, you know what you'd have done, don't you?
What?
Fulfilled Eleanor's most extreme fantasy.
Yes, yes. How ghastly.
The point is, Sarah, dear, that God's got a lot on his plate.
I'll say.
And he can't be expected to spend his valuable time dealing with a lot of details.
Oh?
So what he wants from people is that they should use their own initiative to save him the trouble of having to do everything himself.
Could you be just a little more specific, Mother?
Very well. Look, all right, God has left us a lot of instructions as to how to behave.
You mean in the Bible?
The Bible, the Book of Common Prayer, that sort of thing, yes. Those are just basic guidelines for behaviour, but obviously not every specific moral case is going to be covered in them, so they do sometimes need a little amplification.
But surely that's what the clergy are there for. They can amplify and explain things.
Well, in some cases, yes. It depends, of course, on the individual clergyman. I mean, I don't think I'd take too seriously any amplification or explanation I heard from the new curate at St. Nicholas's.
Why not?
You only have to listen to him to know why not. His vowels, dear. It's clearly a dreadful oik.
But surely the church should be open to all kinds of different people. People from different walks of life, different classes.
Yes, of course. People from any class can go to church, so long as they dress properly. But you do have to be a bit selective when it comes to the clergy. I mean, the clergy have to speak out loud in public. They're almost as important as BBC announcers. You'd think the very least they'd do would be to give them voice tests.
The new curate's perfectly audible, Mother. When he preaches, you hear every word.
It's not a matter of whether one's able to hear every word. It's a matter of whether one wants to hear every word. And with vowels like that...
He can't help the way he speaks.
I'm not blaming him. I'm blaming the church management that puts someone like that in a place like this. I mean, this is a nice middle-class area. I'm sure there are lots of inner-city parishes where vows like his would go down very well indeed, probably not even be noticed.
But he was sometimes such a snob!
Anyway, I don't want to be sidetracked. I was talking about the Bible and the Book of Common Prayer.
And the fact that they sometimes need amplification.
Yes.
Though not from the new curate of St. Nicholas's.
No. And what I was saying was that God appreciates it when people use a bit of gumption in religious matters.
Gumption?
Yes. He likes people to think on their feet.
I'm not quite with you, Mother. I'm afraid you'll have to amplify and explain a bit more for me.
Well, as I say, God's given the guidelines, and from there on, you're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Things change. New moral dilemmas arise every day. Things that weren't around when the Bible was written. I mean, for instance, to take a random example, they didn't have milk bottles when the Bible was written, did they?
Well, they must have put milk in something, Mother.
Oh, yes, but probably goat skins or urns or terracotta pots or something else. Not milk bottles.
But
what I'm saying is that there's no mention of milk bottles in the Bible.
No, I accept that. I don't think there is. Hmm. Of course, Jael brought forth butter in a lordly dish, didn't she? Can't remember what she did with the milk.
Sarah, that's not relevant. But you see, the Bible gives us no guidelines on how to deal with the problem of milk bottles.
No, it certainly doesn't. What is the problem of milk bottles, Mother?
Well, obviously, whether you should put them on the table or not.
Ah, I see. Well, you're right. The Bible does give absolutely no advice on whether you should put milk bottles on the table or not.
Which is exactly the point I'm making. The Bible doesn't answer the question, but it provides the reader with the moral equipment to answer it for him or herself.
You mean there isn't an 11th commandment which deals specifically with the question of milk bottles?
No, but anyone who'd been brought up on the Bible would automatically know that it's wrong to have a milk bottle on the table.
Wrong?
Yes, and that it's right to put milk in a milk jug and put that on the table.
Don't you think you're rather debasing the words right and wrong by using them in this context, Mother?
No, of course I'm not.
I mean, the milk bottle issue is surely a matter of etiquette rather than morality.
No, it's symptomatic. People who behave properly in small things will have the moral equipment to behave properly in bigger things.
And have the moral equipment to know that it's wrong to have oiky vowels.
Now you're the one who's debasing words, Sarah. People who've been brought up on the Bible wouldn't think ugly vowels were actually wrong.
Ah.
Well, they just know that it's nicer to have nice vowels.
Oh, right. I see. And you're saying God likes people to work things like that out for themselves?
Yes. He provided the Holy Writ, and it's up to the individual to interpret it.
Yes. Of course, it would be possible for the individual to interpret the Holy Writ in such a way that whatever the individual happened to think was right would be right.
Yes. Well, if the individual is right in the first place, then there's no harm done, is there?
No. And you yourself manage to find justification in the Bible for everything that you do and think. Is that right, Mother?
Well, yes, I suppose I do, actually. I think I'm just fortunate to be one of those people who happens to be right in the first place.
Hmm. I see.
I noticed your light was on when I came back. Hope you don't mind.
No, nice to see you. Just getting to the end of this bottle of wine. Help me out.
Well, I had quite a lot at dinner, but... Yes, please. Did anyone ring?
Someone called Dick wanted to take you to a party on Saturday week.
Uh-huh.
I said I only knew your commitments for the next 5 days. Suggested he ring you at work.
Fine.
And Ian rang again?
Did he?
Yes. He's a nice boy, Claire.
So?
Well, so surely you could just give him a call. You don't have to go out with him again. It's just common politeness to return his call.
What's the point?
I just thought of all the men you've been out with recently, he seemed the nicest.
Yes, I think he probably is, but who needs nice men?
I'd have thought nice men were preferable to nasty men.
I don't know. Nasty men are easier to despise.
Yes, but is that what you want from a man? Just someone you can despise?
Beats moving around my flat every evening. Oh, they're just all so predictable. The ego, the chat, the grope. It's no problem despising them.
And Ian was different?
Yes. He wasn't just trying to impress. He even missed out on the grope.
As I say, sounds nice.
Look, I've tried nice men. Julian was nice. Or Julian seemed nice, and that didn't work, did it? So I've had it up to here with nice men. It's better for me to meet men on their own terms. Them out for what they can get, me out for what I can get.
Tough cookie meets tough cookie.
That's it.
Thing is, Claire, I never really thought of you as a tough cookie.
No. Well, it just goes to show you that people can change, doesn't it, Mummy?
I suppose so.
You've got to be tough to get through this life.
Yes, but there are different ways of being tough.
Well, my way's working fine at the moment.
Is it?
Yes. Look, Mummy, you didn't get tough early enough.
Oh?
You got married to Daddy when you were very young, and it was all lovely, and when he died, you were totally unprepared for it.
Well, I don't think anyone can be fully prepared for a thing like
that. That's why you fell apart so completely. You didn't have any protective shell around you. There was nothing between you and the pain.
I see. And that's what you're doing at the moment, is it? Building up your protective shell?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing, and it's working.
It is?
It's finally got Julian out of my system anyway.
Has it?
Oh, yes, it most certainly has. If he came crawling to me on his hands and knees, I'd slam the door in his face.
Oh, well, I suppose that's a step forward, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's your life if the way you're currently conducting it is working.
It is.
Fine. Claire, about this christening on Sunday.
No.
Now, not for any religious reasons, not to please me. Just for Granny. It means a lot to her. I know it's... Only for reasons of vanity and one-upmanship.
No.
All right. So, what's the programme for tomorrow? Who's the lucky man you're going to despise over dinner tomorrow evening?
Toby. Theatre with Richard on Thursday. Disco with Stephen Friday.
These men, I don't know how you keep up the pace.
No.
Don't you get tired?
Yes. Yes, I get terribly tired. Mummy, I don't think I've ever been so tired in my life. So tired and so alone.
Claire, oh, come here.
Mummy!
Oh, darling. Oh, oh, sweetheart, it's all right.
Joe,
I was just thinking that's the way the tough cookie crumbles.
But, Sarah, it's a bit simplistic to blame the moral decline of the world on its lack of religion.
Sure. But one would like to think people being brought up on Christian principles are going to be at least aware of certain moral issues, are going to know that, for instance, beating up their fellow men is a bad idea.
Well, that's the point of view. In some parts of the world, of course, religion is seen as a justification for beating up one's fellow men. Northern Ireland, Lebanon, I could go on.
Yes.
It's back to the eternal problem of evil. No religion has really cracked that one to universal satisfaction. You know the old chestnut, if God is just as he's supposed to be, then why does he allow so many ghastly things to happen to the innocuous human beings he's created?
I suppose the pat answer to that would be that God's definition of justice is different from human definitions of justice.
That's casuistry. That's too easy. God is the eternal mover of goalposts. God's saying whatever he happens to think at any given moment is automatically right. Behaving like Eleanor again, in fact.
Yes. I think God possibly has a little more justification for making those kind of claims than Mother has.
Why?
Well, omnipotence gives one a bit of a head start in most things, doesn't it?
Mm, yes, I suppose so. I think, actually, what I really do regret about the decline of religion in this country is the cultural deprivation it's caused.
What, people not seeing church art, not hearing church music?
Oh, no. The good church art still gets seen as a tourist attraction. The good church music stays in the orchestral repertoire. No, I'm talking about the authorized version of the Bible, the ultimate good book, the great glowing exception to the rule that committees designing horses always come up with camels. The authorized version is pure thoroughbred. I think it's a dreadful pity nowadays everyone doesn't grow up with that language rolling and reverberating in their ears.
I presume you're not talking about the authorized version's religious content.
No, just its rhythms, its cadences, the majesty of its writing. It seems to me that that book is the greatest single thing the Church of England's got going for it.
Yet you won't even hear it in a lot of churches nowadays.
Yeah, because of the dreaded New English Bible, that equivalent of fast food and a long tradition of religious banquets.
But you can understand why it was done. I mean, to make the Bible more accessible to modern ears.
Yes, but that's exactly what's wrong with it. Accessibility is the last thing you want from a holy text. You want mystery and majesty. So by definition, you want a degree of inaccessibility.
I'm not sure I agree with you. Surely it's important that the dwindling number of people to whom religion appeals should at least find it comprehensible.
No. Comprehensibility is for the experts. Let theologians and academics sort out what it means. All the average punter going in for religion requires is a little bit of humility and a great deal of blind faith.
You know, in your anti-religious way, you're quite a bigot, Russell.
Yes, of course I am. Religion's always been very good at encouraging bigotry, and to the true bigot, it's the bigotry itself that's important, not what you're actually being bigoted about.
I see. But surely...
Bigoted books?
Russell, it's Claire.
Bygone books?
Russell, it's Claire.
Oh, right. Good morning. Would you like to speak to Sarah?
Please.
Mother checking up on me.
No, daughter checking up.
Oh. Morning, Clara. How are things?
Wonderful, Mummy.
I beg your pardon?
Mummy, this is just the most wonderful day of my life.
Is it?
You'll never guess what's just happened.
No, I don't think I probably will.
Julian's just wrong.
Julian?
Yes, you remember.
Oh, yes, I remember Julian. The Julian who lived within Australia. The Julian you told me last night you'd finally got out of your system.
Yes, isn't it wonderful?
Well... Yes, probably.
He rang from Sydney, but he's leaving in a couple of days, and he said he's missed me and he can't wait to see me.
Ah.
Isn't that just the best news you've ever heard in your life? Anyway, I must get off the phone. Got a lot of calls to make.
Oh, yes?
I've got to cancel all the dates I've made for the next fortnight.
Ah.
Oh, Mummy, aren't you pleased?
Well, Claire, I'm very pleased to hear you sounding so happy.
Yeah, terrific, isn't it? See you later. Bye.
What's happened?
Well... Let's just say Claire's new protective shell is about to have its first major test.
I thought that was a lovely service.
Yes, it all seemed to go off very well. Stephanie was looking terrific, wasn't she, Claire?
Blooming.
Clearly motherhood suits her. I don't envy her with two children under three. Let's go through to the sitting room. Anyone want tea or anything?
No, thanks. I'm still full of christening cake.
Me too.
You know, it's really done a lot for Stephanie, having kids brought her out.
Yes, and she's nearly got her figure back.
Not that there was ever that much to get back.
Granny, don't be so bitchy.
Well, Stephanie always was a big girl, Claire, you have to admit.
Yes, I suppose so. But she was always cut out to be an Earth Mother figure, and now that's what she is.
Hmm. Vera was mercifully quiet, wasn't she?
Well, she really didn't notice.
Well, she didn't go on as much as she usually does about having great-grandchildren. Now she's got two of them, you'd have thought she'd be worse rather than better. Maybe she's biding her time. Reckon that the christening itself was making sufficient impact, so she didn't need to shoot her mouth off as well.
Honestly, Mother, you make your relationship with Vera Poling sound like open warfare.
Well, it's sometimes not far off. Of course, that's not how I want it to be. It's just that Vera's so competitive. I'm not one to make invidious comparisons between people all the time, but poor old Vera is simply unable to get over the fact that I'm more intelligent and attractive than she is.
Mm.
Or, of course, that I have a better dress sense than she does.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
I mean, fancy wearing amethysts before 6 o'clock in the evening. And that hat she had on. I've seen more stylish things run over on the motorway.
Never.
What, dear?
You must stop being so bitchy.
I'm not being bitchy, dear. I just speak as I find. Now, Vera, of course, does have a bit of a tendency towards bitchiness, but I pride myself on never stooping to her level.
I see, Mother. Quite honestly, given the way you and Vera behave, I'm surprised you go on seeing each other.
Well, why shouldn't I see her, Sarah? Vera's my dearest friend.
Yes, but she's a dreadful snob and a gossip.
And I'll thank you, Sarah, not to be rude about my dearest friend.
I see. All right, Mother, fine.
And now, if you'll excuse me, Sarah, dear, I do feel a little weary. I think I'll just go and put my feet up with songs of praise.
Good idea, Mother.
It's coming from a church in Cromer.
Really?
And Valerie Brown on the pension counter's sister Mary had a chiropodist who retired to live in Cromer.
Oh.
So that'll be something to look out for, won't it? See you later, dear.
Yes, Mother. Oh, dear. Oh, I forgot. There was another message from Ian yesterday evening.
Oh, it's all right. I rang him this morning.
I hope you were nice to him.
Yes, sure. I was very apologetic about not ringing him earlier. And I said that unfortunately I couldn't go out with him again. But I said it very nicely.
I thought you dropped your one-date-only rule.
Yes, I have.
Then why couldn't you go out with him again?
Well, because Julian's coming back.
Yes, of course. I was just thinking, you know, it might not do any harm to hedge your bets, keep seeing other people, just in case things didn't work out when Julian comes back.
But they will, Mummy.
Well, it didn't exactly work out perfectly last time, did they?
No, but this will be different. Look, Mummy, if you're trying to put a damper on my...
I'm not trying to put a damper on anything. I just don't want you to get hurt again.
I won't be.
Because although, as I know, you've been building up your protective shell during the last few weeks, I'm not convinced that it's got hard enough yet to cope with a real emotional battering.
There isn't going to be a real emotional battering.
All right, if you say so.
Look, you didn't hear what Julian was like when he rang on Friday.
No, true, I didn't.
Don't worry, Mummy, it's going to be all right.
Is it? Good.
Anyway, I'd better go and get ready.
Going out again? I thought you'd cancelled all your dates.
It's not a date. I'm going to Evensong.
Evensong?
Yes.
But Kay, you went to communion this morning. You've just come back from a christening. There's no need for you to take up residence in the church.
But I said I would.
Said you would who to?
God. In my prayers, I promised if God answered my prayers, then I'd go to church more.
Oh, so the prayers were about Julian.
Of course.
And God came up with the goods.
Exactly.
And he's now back on your list of bona fide traders with whom you're happy to do business.
I wouldn't put it like that, but...
Well, you certainly don't do anything by halves, do you, Claire?
What do you mean?
Don't worry. Go on, love. Off to Evensong you go.
Yes, see you later, Mummy.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.
I don't know, God. You don't half move in a mysterious way.
In Keeping Faith, you heard Prunella Scales as Sarah, Joan Sanderson as Eleanor, Benjamin Whitrow as Russell, and Jerry Cowper as Claire. After Henry was written by Simon Brett, and produced by Pete Atkin.